Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome to Cowboy Wisdom Radio on the Be Wisdom Radio Network. And my name is Rob Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom NLP Coaching, and tonight my guest is Kenya K. Stevens. She's a sex-positive love coach, a manifestation mogul, and an all-around savant goddess. She's very sapient in the way she delivers her messages, and her messages will expand your life into a crisp new paradigm. Without any further ado, I want to welcome Kenya to the show.
Hey, Rob. How are you cowboys down there in Texas this week? I'm so happy to be here.
I'm always happy to have you on, and because it's a lively show and we talk about things that will expand people's lives, and that's what Cowboy Wisdom Radio is about. Everything is really good in Texas. It's about 75, between 75 and 80 every day, sunny and just nice.
Oh, nice.
I love warm weather, and I really can't handle the cold like I used to. I used to love the cold. Now I like it warm.
I feel you. I know how that is, and it must be really warm down there because I'm up here in North Carolina, and it's almost 70 degrees today.
Yeah, we're getting ready to go into the next. It kind of runs like this month will be in the 80s, next month 85 to 90, and then May will go from 90 to 100, June, July, August, September, they're 100-degree months, but I'll give up my I'll stay 100 degrees for 4 months rather than 10 below zero for 4 months.
Oh, I hear that. I understand. How are you doing? Whenever you invite me to the show, I say, well, Rob, what are we going to talk about? And then you say, oh, we're going to have some fun. That's all you really say.
Well, a scripted show is dull and uninforming to the people. But an unscripted show with just a flow of conversation expands people's lives. And the thing I really see and understand, I read all your stuff on Facebook. I do. You're one of the about four or five people I read. You're one of them. Because most coaching and speaking out there is corporate cloning. And if you read, you'll see the corporate cloning and the societal hemming in of people. They want you to feel good inside societies and be a societal pigeon while you're choosing to expand. It's about breaking free of that. And I got a new definition for free. It's featuring old paradoxes, releasing old patterns, engaging in your life, expanding your wisdom, energizing your enterprising energies, experience your life your way.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love the way you word things, Rob. Very, very wonderful.
Well, see, the thing, it is the word, but the words you speak open your subliminal landscape to expand. And something that I've been reading, and I read a lot on your stuff, is that you talk about freeing the inside also, but just, and it's also, it's expanding the DNA from old paradoxes into new paradigms, and that's what I get when I read your stuff on Facebook.
Oh, nice. Nice. Well, that's not the intention. I don't know. I know that that is my one of my missions, but when I write, I'm just flowing from wherever spirit is speaking at that moment, and I know you know about that. I just let it go. Spirit is speaking. I love connecting to spirit. I love the idea of being in trance. Especially as a woman, I like to walk around in a state of trance all day. And I'm usually able to do that, especially if a man is in the house. And when I'm able to do that, then spirit really speaks in the way that I express with my children and my husband and the people around me, as well as through my writing. Now, when I have to get fired up and yanged up and I have to be the man and the woman in the house, then it's more difficult for spirit to speak. So I just say that to kind of open out a topic. Rob, what do you think about the idea that if women are allowed to actually be female and move in that trancey, relaxed, sexual, sensual, beautiful, blissful state that is naturally us, then we could come up with whatever is needed to heal the world. I'm convinced of it. Go ahead.
When the feminine energy is flowing, It's an enterprising, entrepreneurial energy. See, mm-hmm. and that I see. And women are more, I don't use the word creative, I should say energizing, unleashing their enterprising energy to expand mm-hmm. the world when they're in the flow of their female energy.
Mm-hmm.
And what, and they get into that male, it's just, when they become having to engage in the male energy, they become the male and become short-sighted.
Absolutely. And I dare say that it is creative energy that you're talking about. I have no problem looking at the creative, entrepreneurial, not even, I mean, you said entrepreneurial. Did you say that or did you say enterprising? That's what you said. The creative energy, I think, is a feminine energy. I think the enterprising energy is a male energy. I it's true, you need both, and they go so well together that if you don't allow that feminine in you as a woman, it's or as a society of women, then the society lacks some of the creativity that's needed. Now, I know there's going to be men who are like, well, I'm creative too, and that's true. Because everyone has masculine and feminine. But when you really open space for the women to actually cultivate that, even the women who may not be naturally as creative, then you're going to have a whole new society on your hands. I mean, painting houses, looking at the figuring out new ways for us to live on this planet, the straw bale, the earthen houses. You know, I'm into all that, Rob. I am into it. Looking at new ways of water filtration, new ways of growing food, new ways of community, new ways of existing together. Yes, let's do that, you know?
Well, you said something there, the new way, and that's what's happening. Over the next 4 to 5 years, we're going to have all the old patterns, all the business practices and the way we live today are going to be fissured. We're going to get back to people and talking and communicating with each other on ideas. And you just said something astounding, profoundly.
People, what is that?
The new way to live. You said water filtration. We got to come up with a new energy source. Here's something a lot of people don't realize. We've been held hostage for 40 years by OPEC oil.
Absolutely.
By the oil sector. We've started in 71, and we've been held hostage for 40 years. That's because of the male energy and the manipulation of the business people at the top. They can fluctuate the market to make big, huge profits at the expense of people. And it's time for the people to be fed up with that and get into them enterprising or creative energies, because the feminine side is the creative side. I call it my enterprising side, because I learned something real significant. Do you want to see what happens when this happens, when I do this to people?
Yes.
Okay, say the words create, change, transformation, and heal, and pay attention to your eyes.
Create, change, transformation, and heal.
Your those eyes were, narrowed.
Yeah, my eyes went down, and they reacted to those words somehow. Why is that? I'd like for everybody in the listening audience to try it, too. You said create, change, transformation, and heal.
Yeah, they went narrowing down, didn't they?
Yes.
They shut you down. They're drama words. Now say the words expand, energize, enterprise, and experience.
Expand, energize, enterprise, and experience.
Eyes went open and up.
Yeah, they're fine.
Feel the front of you, it feels open and released, and inside yourself you feel a curiosity to expand.
Yes, I love it. Now I'm going to have to stop saying the word heal, because every time I say the word heal, I look down.
Yeah, and see, the thing is, we're afraid to experience the emotional gratitude of life, because we don't have it. Any challenges in life, we have an expanding experience to unleash our enterprising energies. And something I've really learned since I talked to you last, I took the words think and know out of my vocabulary. I use listen to my core wit and unleash my enterprising energies, because it opens me up to look through the situation.
Nice. I love
and
it.
And I also got a CD coming out on that. I got some 9 hypnosis CDs in the making. They're being edited now.
That's very nice. I really, really love your enterprising spirit, Rob.
Well, that's why you bring an energy. You got an energetic spirit, and everybody has one, but we've allowed them to be dummied down by a corporate cloning and a self-control that we disallow ourselves to move forward.
Interesting. Well, I feel as though it's time to move forward, and it's inevitable. And the very thing that you said, what we've witnessed over the past 50 years, 100 years, some say even longer, I say that it's built up in different increments. What we've witnessed has helped us to build our next level experience, our energized experience. It's energized us. It's helped us to see that we must walk through this time period and create anew. It's time to do that. Now, tell me, was create one of the buzzwords on your hot list? Now I'm censoring my words. I don't like that, Rob.
create isn't a bad word. It's when you use it for a drama. I created this situation. But here's the thing. You create drama, energize success.
Okay. Uh-huh. So I think everyone's...
It's a choice on which words. But when it comes to manifestation and realizing having it revealed, would you rather create something or energize it to experience it?
I'd rather experience it.
Okay, energize it to experience. And what energize does, it puts an inner energy forward from your heart. See, when you use the word energize, feel the front of you. That's where you want to feel this, Kenya, is when you use the words, when you use create, you kind of go just kind of mundane on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's where you want to, the words you use, you want to feel them on the internal side. You want to feel them in your chest. And when you say the word create, what does it do for you?
When I say which word, say it again.
When you say the word create, how do you feel in the front of you and all your chakras?
Create. Energize. When I say energize, I don't feel a heaviness on my heart. When I say create, it feels like a pulling down. When I say energize, it feels like a pushing out.
That's the reason I use energize. Because when you start using, when you take... But the real thing you want to do, Kenya, is take the word change and use the word expand because it's an infinite word and it comes from inside.
All right. I got you. I'm going to have to learn that new language because the way that our body kinetically responds to language and even subconsciously responds to language directs our actions, really. Language actually directs our actions. I believe that, Rob. And I believe that that's why different languages have different emphasis. Like in English, you know, there's a different emphasis. The verb is different in English, whereas some languages don't have every word is an action word, or every word has a specific meaning, or words can be changed for feminine and masculine. It's just there's a lot of different ways that languages play out. And I think that they affect the people's actions by affecting their psyche. So I'm going to incorporate your terminology here. I like it. And I like the feelings in my body that I feel when I use the words you're talking about in the ways that you're talking about using them.
And see, that's, you know, the word experience, I use it, I overuse the word experience. I do. Because I'd rather experience my day than live a day.
Yes. Or it's better to experience your day than create your day.
Yeah, and see, the word experience means you're in the day. And it's engaging in something else I've really learned. And I want to do something here real quick. I want to, because the call-in number to talk to Kenya is 626-414-3564. And it's about engaging in ourselves. The biggest fear that people have to meet Kenya is trusting their own ability.
And why do they have this fear? Trusting their own abilities.
Because what your inner self tells you in the physical world sounds like lunacy. But it's not lunacy. It's actually genius. But we're afraid to be a genius in the physical world because of people who make fun of us. And and something else, if you 50% of the people aren't going to pay attention to any, 30% are just kind of ho-hum, 10% are going to call you crazy, 5% are going to be intrigued, but there's 5% that are going to listen and expand their lives when you talk. And, you know, 5% don't sound like a lot, but out of 3 billion grown-ups, that's 150 million people. They all send
you Ooh, Rob, you're making me hot now, Rob. Because when you said 5%, I said, well, that doesn't sound like a lot. And I know I've experienced that in my work where, you know, the certain percent call you nuts completely and the other percentage just really don't pay attention because they're asleep at the wheel. And then there's 5% that are really, really feeling you. But I was thinking, damn, that's not a lot. But then you said, you said that's 150 million adults. So I love that. I love that. I've experienced what you...
So here's the real thing. If they all sent you a dollar, you have $150 million in the bank.
You are hilarious, Rob. I know what you're talking about because I experience that all the time. I've been enterprising, Rob, and I've been following that voice, and I'm getting closer. Let me tell you one of the visions that you're gonna, that I thought was lunacy, that is coming more and more into possibility now. But one of the enterprising and very entertaining visions I've had is that I have to get a group of people together to take the pollution out of the water. Right? Now, I've said to myself, how would I get a group of people together and how would we take pollution out of the water and smog out of the air and so forth? And they say, oh, that's easy. You just make love. You do it in such a way in which you're using mantra and yantra. You do it in such a way in which the people who you call are energized to do this task. You do it in such a way in which people are prepared and they know what they're going to be working with, and it's a ceremonial experience, but it will take the pollution out of the water, right? And I'm thinking to myself, what is this, an orgy or something? They said, do you want pollution to be in the water? And I said, no, I don't, but I also don't want to call together an orgy of any sort. People are already accusing me of that sort of thing because I believe in universal love and I'm experiencing universal love. And they said, okay, well, it's your choice to take the pollution out of the water or not.
Well, it's your will. And you know what the word will means now?
Will, yes. It is my will. I can do that or not. I do like that better than choice.
Yeah, it's will, but will is wisdom, innovation, love, and laughter.
Well, that would be what it is, love, laughter, wisdom, and innovation. However, where does that wisdom come from? I'm just, when I heard it, it did sound like lunacy to me. But as we move,
wisdom comes, you know where your wisdom really comes? By listening and letting go of everything you've been taught by society and school system. Basically, understand your life to it is, and then just listen to the world. It'll give you the wisdom you desire.
Nice.
It's really eavesdropping on the wisdom of the world. And that's all we really do. When you listen, you're expanding. When you're talking, you're the same.
So where do you find yourself learning these things from? Because when I ask you that, because I don't know if individuals understand that it may not all be coming or located in a book, and that a lot of things that you, some of your insights and all of mine, books I try to stay away from. I mean, I write them, I mean, and partially it comes from books in terms of having a basis of understanding through which to put your foundation under you. But in terms of the wisdom that you're speaking of, this comes from intuition. Would you say that? Experience.
What I really did, Kenya? I quit listening to the gurus in the spiritual and personal growth industry and started listening to myself. But I also did something else. I started writing visions instead of what's wrong with the world. Started writing the vision I choose to enjoy rather than what it is, and I quit punctuating anything. When I write an affirmation or a business or a vision, I don't punctuate it because I don't want the subconscious or the subliminal landscape to be able to lock on to anything, because when the subconscious hears a period, it stops. But when you don't punctuate it, the flow goes. It never stops flowing.
Okay. So you didn't punctuate, Rob?
Yeah, I got a book called The Visions of a Cowboy that's unpunctuated.
Wow. That's one of the...
And when I post them unpunctuated. And I'm waiting for somebody to say something. Because we're too college educated to get out of the recession. It's going to take crisp new innovation like you was talking earlier to expand out. And you hit on a lot of topics. It's going to take a free-flowing, loving conversation and listening to each other to get this full. And when you're saying love, you got to put love in. You got to love yourself and love the life you're living to expand the universe.
Absolutely. And so that means that you have to experience things that you want to experience in order to love your life.
Yeah.
And you have to go and do and almost follow the very things that we were taught were not to be followed, which are desires, dreams, visions. And there's no clearer time to do that than now, because the other part is falling out from below us either way. There's the quote-unquote job security, which I've never believed in since childhood, and because both of my parents are entrepreneurs. So I've never seen the idea of work a job for 30 years, not that I have a problem with anyone doing that, but I had never seen that example. The only example that I saw were two individuals, man and woman, working together, and I'd like to talk about that a little bit, but man and woman working together and creating something, the unit of yin and yang coming together and producing something. And the idea was what I followed, you know. But choosing to experience the things that you want to experience and going for those things and enjoying those things, I think would be, you know, a step one objective for everyone moving into the new era. You heard about the new era on March 9th?
No, I didn't.
Absolutely. They say... the Mayan calendar has eras. It's broken up into eras, and each era gets shorter and shorter as time speeds up, quote-unquote, or figuratively. And what happened on March 9th is that we moved into the ninth era, which will last 250-odd days, 284 days or something like that. And it's the era of unity and co-creation. You might want to say co-experience, I guess, co-energetics. But the idea that anything can be, in terms of with teaming will be the engine that drives success in this era.
And you can see that happening because we're so locked into an old paradox of I'm right, you're wrong, that we can't do anything.
Oh, nobody's wrong. I don't even know. I've never understood that. I understood it because I learned it in school with a thesis paper. I talk about that in my first book, how I was the master of the thesis, and so I was the master also of being, quote-unquote, deemed right. And I can use my language to deem myself right. However, no one is wrong. Like, what is wrong? What does that mean? A person has a belief that doesn't make them wrong and they have a different belief than you, that doesn't make them wrong. So teaming doesn't work with that type of thinking. You're absolutely right. It requires synergistic thinking and allowing everybody to have their voice.
That's absolutely the most profound thing, and that's insightful because everybody has the wisdom and the intellect and all the grandeur for their specific journey to for their life. It's like the business patterns of today. They worked for the corporation up to a point, but they forgot the main thing in life. People and their ideas is the main thing in this world. And that
absolutely
is what we're going to end on. And until we understand people before money or anything, that is what's going to expand the world. When people, like this recession, it's the greatest thing that happened to this country, not financially, but personally, because people are starting to have to engage with people on ideas. When two people could come together with two completely different ideas and make one, they will expand the universe by being partners or co-creators or just energizing. I just call it an entrepreneurial utopian unleashing their enterprising energies.
Yes, that's when you have ignition. Yeah, that's ignition. The other day on my Facebook page, I asked a question, so what is everybody's talent? What is everybody here to contribute to the world? And we had a long thread of people just saying what it is that they are feeling is their contribution, and it's more of an energetic contribution, like I'm here to unify people. That's my name is Akashimut. It means she who comes to know unity. So for me, it's the unity between the sexes and the unity between the races. Those are two of my things that are just driving forces, always have been driving forces in my life. I grew up around in a high school that was 25% African American, 25% Jewish, 25% Arab, and then 25% white. And it was quite an experience. I was in Europe before I was 15, traveling from country to country and going around and seeing the way different people live. I was in Hungary when it was still a communist country. And I just, from very young, I've seen that these pieces are pieces to a puzzle that fit together that are called the races. That's what they are. There are individual talents within the races, but there are predominant talents that each race holds. I hold that the African race holds the water energy and the idea of spirit and connection to source. I hold that each of the races has this talent, this core talent, and then, of course, there are individual talents inside. But if these would come together as puzzle pieces, then you have this beautiful experience that goes beyond what we have today. If we could recognize, you know, the synergy that is present between these groups, that's my thing. And then, of course, between the sexes, that one is obvious. When you have something like a yoni and a lingam coming together, those two forces are complementary. And I think the forces that each race represents are complementary. But we got to see that, I guess. I guess I can't believe it forever. We've got to actually see it.
Now, you just hit on something that a lot of people don't understand about seeing the race and the way it is. But this country's had three things that it's never, ever expanded out of. One is a civil war. Two is the 1930s and the Depression. Four is we've never got away from the Great Society, and five is a free trade, because it's all led to more people. The people trade, what is that? I just call it people trading. You know, sweatshops have really never went away. It's not until we expand and see the human being or the being that we're with or the person as an equal and their wisdom equal, and quit trying to use child labor and slave labor is only words I can think to make money, the world won't expand. Until we quit teaching history of poverty and get into the history and write a history book of plush prosperity, life will stay the same.
Oh, I so agree. I so agree. If you teach people the pattern, then they will fall into the pattern. Some people had a real issue with me because I said, I'm not teaching my kids about what you think of as the idea of slavery. I'm teaching my children the idea of the lush ingenuity that it took for the expansion of individuals and the way that individuals have adapted and the ways that individuals have come and made something out of nothing and made beauty out of what some could consider as something terrible. That's what I will teach my children. I don't allow them, when they come home with these stories, my kids are afraid. Then when they come home from history class, they're scared to turn the lights off. Rob, that's a travesty. I do not allow it. And I'll tell any teacher, do not teach my children these things, because they're selecting things out of history to teach and ordering them in a book. And I don't like that selection. I don't want that order. I choose something different for my children. And I tell them, I'm like, you know, I don't let them participate.
You know, history is not taught to teach us. History is taught to control us.
Well, that's game over, because we're not doing that here. I have indigo babies in my house, and we're not doing that.
I agree with you. And here's the thing. It keeps our DNA coded in poverty. And see, that's all this world, even the college education teaches, I make my money by keeping people in poverty.
Right.
If you look at economics and listen to economists, they say, I make my money by keeping people in poverty, when it's actually low interest rates and low wages that got this country in this recession right now.
Right. One thing that I've added, and I will continue to add to my site, because I've participated in capitalistic activity. I own my own company. But one thing that we do and that we've added, for instance, I had a class, and I teach the class. It's called I2 Tantra, and it aids individuals into becoming certified Tantra practitioners so that they can practice and run their own practice in their own town. And when I did the class is very inexpensive. It's like $500 for 6 months. And what I did was offer barter. You can pay me in barter, or you can pay me in dollars. But both are equally valuable. So if you pay me in barter, that means that you work for my company for the duration of those 6 months. And I actually have people who work for me and do a brilliant job and contribute in ways that I need, you know, and they get the class just as those who paid in dollars. So I was adding barter to more of all of my offerings will eventually have where you can barter, or you can give me dollars, whatever you want to give. Shoot, you can come over here and cook dinner. That would be great. You come take care of my children. You know, whatever you'd like to contribute is something that I need, I'm sure. So, you know, that's another. Mm-hmm.
Bartering is what's coming back. Because this is something a lot of people don't understand. Capitalism is not bad. It's the capitalism of communism that we had. It's a socialist, communism, fascism of what the capitalism was here. It was all about business, and it's not about expanding people. Well, they've cut and contracted as far as they can go. Now they have to expand. And if you listen, I like listening to money shows. Because I like to hear, you never hear them talk about expansion. It's always contracting or cutting something to make more money. Well, you keep cutting and cutting and cutting, and pretty soon, you're broke.
Either way, right. You're no longer people rich.
Mm-hmm. And when I talked about the free trade, when we outsource the manufacturing and we outsource the jobs, it isn't so much we outsource the jobs, that was bad, but we outsource the innovation, the newness. We outsource the newness, and China's prospering because they're building new. And that's where this country is. And people have to pay close attention to this country, Kenya, because there's nothing new. and we're all, and you know, you can go to any city and it's always the Lowe's, the Walmart, the Office Depot. There's no uniqueness that used to be in this country. Like Texas, the Southwest was this. The Northeast was this. The Northwest was that. The Montana, the South Dakotas, the Wyoming, they were this. We're not that way no more. We all look like one place.
Yeah, I've noticed that. When you go to different places, you can bet that there will be a Target with next to the Best Buy, and the Best Buy will be next to the, you know, to the, you know, whatever restaurants, the Chili's will be in every town. And you're wondering, well, what about the cooking of this town? Like, when I came down to Raleigh, I'm like, oh, I wonder what the traditional, what is the Raleigh cooking? You know, what is the, you know, New York is the only island, the island of Manhattan does not have a Walmart. And they won't allow the Walmart on the island of Manhattan because they know it will close down all of the unique little shops that provide hardware and other unique goods. And they're the only town with the corner bodegas. And it's just, where would be the unique cooking, for instance, in Atlanta? I've lived in D.C. You know, really the only unique cooking is when you have the ethnic groups that have come to this country, for instance, Ethiopian food, which I love. They, you know, you can't, because America hasn't co-opted that yet, you know, or the Chinese food. I don't know. It's just weird. It's like, where do unique Raleigh-only chefs or Texas-only, you know what I'm saying? Like, once I buy the goods of Texas or the goods of California, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's why I like, through like Wyoming, when you're passing a place in Wyoming and it says steaks and it's in the middle of the nowhere, stop eating a steak because you will never have one that good again. There's a little town called Hudson, Wyoming, between Lansing and Riverton. They had two of the best steakhouses in the state on each side of the street. That's all they had. But they it's a little uniqueness, but that's what this country lost in all the capitalism. We forgot to expand the uniqueness. Instead, we expanded the controlism.
Well, that didn't last long because I think that people feel it, and I think that people see it, and I think it's very transparent. And I think it had to happen for people to discover their uniqueness again after so many years of the teachings. You know, but good, we're back.
Yeah. And I also think we got too much cityfied and we lost our country. We, you know, no matter how much you moved to the city, everybody in the city had it was a country person. We lost our country roots, down to earth, common sense, and I think we've really lost that.
Well, you know what you've got to read is the book Sex at Dawn. And they talk about the fact that any time a community grows beyond 150 people, then you're going to begin losing the uniqueness. What they call for, actually, is the return of groups and smaller groups of individuals working together and so that everyone knows everyone else's name. And the corporation being smaller, and businesses being smaller, but having more businesses, having more of those types of groupings where everyone knows everyone else's name, then when you come across another grouping, then those two groupings can introduce themselves. For instance, what does this grouping specialize in? And these are just ideas to think about. I know we may be far from that notion again, but when you build a group that's too big where everybody's a number instead of a name, then we have a concern. You have something on your hands at that point.
You know, when you understand this, we never started the mergers until the early 80s, late 70s. And look, it took less than 30 years to take this country to its knees. This country is 100 trillion dollars in debt, and we don't have a currency. The dollar is borrowed money. And see, that's a reality we have to start talking. And
that's
everybody says we're free. No, we're not free. We're the most regulated country. But that don't mean nothing. We can be free in our spirit and in innervation and in our hearts and expand this country back into the star, the true entrepreneurial nation it always was. We've become too mundane and too computerized to do it, but that is going to open up too, but the computer is also going to open up new ways.
Yes. The computer got us talking again, and, you know, I'm so proud of us for the way that we use the computer, and I know that it's not all the ways that we use it, but one way that we use it, and the social networks, to me, are just the mass consciousness pulling back together and saying, okay, let's get these groupings going on again, you know. You know, the teaming that we talked about, I think it's working.
It is, but people are starting to see what it does is put somebody in Ireland and somebody in the United States and maybe somebody in Israel or Ethiopia or wherever, they put four people together to make a better idea, to make a better mousetrap. And so
that's
it
right.
Really does. And it's open communication. And that's what this is all about, is opening communication between each other. And that's what's going to expand the world.
Yeah. So it's happening then, Rob. Yes. That's what I'm talking about. I know it is.
And that's what this Cowboy Wisdom Radio and Cowboy Wisdom NLP Coaching are about, expanding the wealth in the world, and that's wisdom, expanding affluence, living today harmoniously in your desired life.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love Cowboy Wisdom Radio.
Well, this is my privilege. I get to do this three nights a week, and I get to talk to Kenya and other people around the world. It's just freedom to me. But it's about energizing people to see I can, I expand, I live my desired life. And that's what it's all about.
That's right. That's right. I was building my site.
Tell people how to get a hold of you, because you got some seminars and other stuff, books and a whole bunch of stuff people can expand their life with.
Oh, absolutely. I will do that. I was just saying that I was building my site the other day. I've always built, you know, my own technologies to cast the message through, and I really, 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 really get sad because I'm like, oh, I want it to do this, and I don't know how to make it do this. I only know how to make it do the basics, and I want more, and I, you know. But then a voice told me that even though it's a hodgepodge and the way you're putting it together is hodgepodgeness, the innovation is that you're setting it up in the way that feels most natural to you. And it doesn't look like anybody else's site. Anybody can check it out. It's jujumamablog.com. I always want my site to look more like all the other, quote-unquote, coaches or self-help gurus and so forth. I'm like, mine doesn't look like that. It looks more like really different, you know. But it's jujumamablog.com. You can get in contact with me. I have written an ebook. It is free. It is for my members only. A lot of my blog posts, you know, people get very concerned when they can't access but 10 or 20 of my free posts when there are actually 260 posts on my blog that are all worth reading. But you can access those by becoming a member. And that happens at jujumamablog.com. Then I have books, of course, available on Amazon. I have audios and videos available on Lulu. All of it is under Juju Mama. If you Google Juju Mama, you'll find 50 pages in Google of Juju Mama linked stuff. So that's where we are.
And if you're listening real closely to what Kenya's saying, you'll see how she's got an energy to expand your life, and it isn't coming from her conscious. It's coming from her internal, because you can feel it in the power of her words and the way she speaks. And that's something I've really learned to watch, is I watch what people write, and I can tell when they're in their conscious mind or in their heart. And you know what the three words are they use?
What's that?
Help, want, and need. That's conscious words.
Wow.
The word help is, I'm asking the world for you to help me because I have want and need.
Okay. That is deep, Rob. You're just such a guru. You're just cowboys. You know, you wouldn't expect this of a cowboy.
And again, I expand people to live their desired life. You want to take want and need out and use the word desire. You want to be passionate about what you desire.
Nice.
And you want to expand into it. And you want to unleash. Basically, I listen to my core wit, relishing my spiritual journey, yeah. Unleashing my enterprising energies to experience my desired life.
Love that. And where are you located so that people listening from my fan base and my friend base can know who you are?
I'm at www.cowboy-wisdom.com and also at b-wisdom.com. And me and Tom Ski just opened up Be Wisdom Radio and Be Wisdom Publishing.
Ah, okay. Okay, nice.
And Tom's also been with Be First Inc. And Tom has 350,000 listeners on Twitter.
Okay, good.
And he's a marketing genius, and he's just a good friend. But here's the thing I understand. It's not what I can do myself. It's how I energize and other people to live their desired life is my will.
Absolutely, 100%. Because those people will be your team. Essentially. Yeah. Essentially, that's what will happen.
And you know another fear, you know another thing I've really come to understand about myself also, Kenyon, my biggest fear was wealth and success.
Because
I understand it. We don't understand it because we've been taught poverty all of our life.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum, instead of maximum.
Yeah, and at the same token, we can aspire and we can actualize it because we've been taught poverty all of our lives. That's the reason why we look another direction, because we know we're not impoverished. You know, we know it's a lie from day one. You know, when you sat in that schoolhouse, you said to yourself, this is some bull crap. Like, you just said that. Everybody says that. My son says that. And I'm like, you know what? You're damn Skippy. You're right. And I think that, yes, because we were taught that, we have that lack mentality. But at the same time, because we were taught that, we have that energetic drive and desire to move on. And it starts very young. So it's a double-edged sword. Everything is. Everything is the poison and the antidote.
And here's another thing. To me, Kenya, we've always been taught to struggle, and every life has to be a struggle, and life is a struggle. And all life is a patience builder of expanding learning lessons.
I love that you are saying that, because the journey through teaming and through co-experience and those types of things that we're moving into now will not be without challenges. And individuals need to understand what a challenge is. That's one of the biggest things we take our Juju Mama love samurais through, or our love initiates. You know, I haven't decided whether to call them samurais or initiates. But the point is that each of the challenges is there for very, very specific and pointed reasons. You actually co-authored those challenges, you know, if you really look at the deepest level of them, so that you could take yourself to the next level.
As soon as you write an intention, you've invited the challenges, but they ain't challenges. You don't have to. But what they really are is God and the universe loving you, and you loving yourself, because you're going to show yourself your courage and wisdom to expand through that situation.
Oh, yes. Opportunities are what we think of as challenges. I wholeheartedly agree. And, why aren't they teaching that in the first grade? And, you know, why aren't I busting my ass to build a school to have that be the case in the first grade? And maybe because that's not my destiny this time, but I think it's going to happen. It's schools have to have a different emphasis, and that's coming too. But I keep coming back to my vision.
Schools have to open up to prosperity because the kids today ain't going to settle for what we settled for.
No. No, they're too advanced. They're very advanced. The kids today are extremely advanced.
More spiritual than we were. And you know, the thing is the kids today will probably be the saviors of our generation.
Absolutely. I had a young person on the phone today, a young couple who I work with. Of course, I work with hundreds of singles and couples. I was on the phone all day today. And the thing with this couple was that when I was talking about the basics of what a man and a woman can do and build together if they know how to stay in their lane and if they know how to actualize their power, then they, you know, I was reading these off and we were going over the lesson and she just burst out crying. She said, why am I 27 and I don't know this? Why am I 27 years old, been married 7 years or so forth, and I don't know this? And that just struck the same chord that we're going to have to shift the educational process at some point. Coming soon.
You know, you just touch on things. People are so afraid of enjoying sex, it almost scares them. Instead, sex is a spiritual journey of a release of two energies at one time.
I love it. I love it. I love it. The idea of sex as sacred art, you know, it plays in and it weighs in when we look at today's world and the things that you talked about earlier with individuals reaching the end of their rope as being workers and not being valued as humans with innovative ideas. You know, the sex drive has gone down with this type of climate. And the sex energy has been replaced with, well, let's just replace that. We don't have really time for that. Let's go ahead and deal with the toys and, you know, the porn. Let's create a pseudo-sex so that we don't have to actually indulge because we don't really have time nor the energy to connect. And because we're not connected with ourselves, you know, hadn't been, then how do you connect with somebody else? So absolutely that sex is sacred component is there, needs to be refreshed, reinvigorated, which we do at Juju Mama. But definitely, you know, and that alone can re-energize a person.
You know,
I've been re-energized all week. You know.
But here's the thing. People are afraid to let the other person be comfortable with who they are.
Body shape. Yeah, that's one thing I was thinking about the other day. Like, I have a really nice body. You know, I'm not whatever. I think my body is nice. But, you know, I have some hips, some butt. You know, I have a little bit of stomach. I've had three babies. And I want to be embraced for all of that. And, you know, whether you're black or white or, you know, the big thing now is you got to have these big butts. And the white women are saying, I don't have a butt. And, you know, all of these things, these are ridiculous. Every body shape and size is 100% fantabulous, and it will be even more fantabulous when they're energized enough to actually vision their body differently, think of their body differently. So that's something that comes along with that whole process. But I didn't think we were talking about that topic tonight. I would have dived into that a long time ago, Rob.
You know, it's my show. Anything goes on this show. But it's not expanded people, but you got to expand from the inside out.
That's right. So what I decided to do about that scenario is accept my own body and really cherish it. So what I did was took some pictures. So if you check out my new profile picture, you'll see my body. Because I said, you know, and some girls on Facebook helped me. But I said, you know, I've got to do that for myself, and then everybody else will do that, you know. Because everybody else is essentially,
you know,
just me.
Something I understand, when you're happy in your own skin and with who you are, everybody else around you is uncomfortable because they're not.
Ah, or they accept you as you are, and they begin to accept themselves more.
You know, here's the thing about people that don't like you for who you are. They can take a long walk on a short plank and make it a quick one.
You crazy. You are crazy. Well, we have 6 minutes left. What do we want to really drill into? Because do we want to synthesize, or where are we at, babe?
Well, we're just going to keep going with here, but it's about, let's get back to the school system and I'm back, because we'll have Kenya back, and we will delve deeper into what Kenya does with her sex tantra and all that other stuff, because, you know, sex is as important to life. And in a relationship, well, let's just keep going. Sex is the most important thing in a relationship because it's a harmonious time of life. But something that I've learned in my own journey here is you never take business or household affairs or family things into the bedroom. That's just for the two people in the bedroom. Mm. How do you feel about that?
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree in terms of taking the feuds of business or the feuds of family. When I go into the bedroom, however, I do take the things that I'd like to energize. I'm energizing my business during sex. I'm energizing that business of my – I have a partner right now who just left my house who is a model, and he's significantly younger than I am, and he's just trying to work it out. So I'm energizing his career. You know, I'm saying those things out loud, and I'm enforcing confidence in him and so forth. And I do the same thing for my career. I energize whatever I want in the bedroom. But, no, I don't take the squabbles or the negative energy, but I do take in the idea that I want to energize these things during sex, and it really, really works out well for me. I love it.
Well, you know, when you're energizing that during sex,
mm-hmm.
you're in your subliminal process because your conscious mind is out of the way.
Oh, yeah. That's the point. It's like a most grandiose meditation that you can do.
You know? Yeah.
It is the most grandiose meditation, and I love it. I love men. Men are my catalysts. And some people say, oh, you love men. That's a general statement. Yes, I'm making the general statement right now on, you know, whatever date this is, because I don't keep track of the date. I love men in general. And I think you guys are catalysts, you know, my catalysts. And I am magnetic because you are electric. And I love you all.
Now,
oh,
let me
goodness.
Ask you a question. I just got a question. How do you think the women of the world today in politics and in the business world are trying to be men and disregard their feminine energy, and it's actually limiting their business and everything about them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But then, of course, that is the teaching. However, the new teaching and the place that feminism is moving is the idea that it's not feminism, it's to be feminine. We don't need another ism. We just need to be feminine.
No, that's right. And we've had enough fascism, corporatism, and all this other isms.
Right. Isms are schisms on the heart.
Isms doesn't work. It's like telling myself no.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
We're down to opinion, Kenya, here. Tell people how to get a hold of you. There's the lady with the 90 seconds. Anyway, oh, she's annoying. Anyway, tell people how to get a hold of you and give them some wisdom to close the show.
Absolutely. You can get a hold of me anytime by going to my brochure site, jujumama.com, or to my blog site, jujumamablog.com. And that's all of me for you. My YouTube channel with 40 videos that are really luscious and fun, and also our stories and so forth. You can get in contact with me in either of those ways, or you can send me a subliminal message. Just talk to me. We're all connected. My message leaving tonight with Rob is that we're all one being. You know, there's the separation that we feel is more mental than it is physical or energetic. So contact who you want to contact. Be and energize who you want to energize. Reach out to who you need to reach out to. If you're afraid to make a physical call, then literally do it with your mind and your vision, and your world will start to reshape itself. Your thoughts and your visions are just as important as your actions. And if everybody can remember that and use that, then we're going to be moving to a new plateau together, and we are together. That's the biggest thing. I love you. Thank you so much, Rob. Thank you for having me.
I want to thank Kenny and all the listeners in the chat room and on the phone lines. We'll be here next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, and we'll have a variety of guests. Me and Tom Ski will be Thursday. We're going to talk about Bee Wisdom, Bee First Inc., Cowboy Wisdom, NLP Coaching, and Tall Tied Up Productions. But thank everybody, and I really enjoy doing this, and it's my honor to be able to be here for you. Anyway, good night, and everybody enjoy their weekend. And thank you, Kenya.
Good night. You're welcome. Good night.